when we see robots in movies, they could never do that. That's, you know, that's so unrealistic, because we know what robots can do and are likely to be able to do in the future. And a lot of the things that Hollywood does, you can't do what the movie does.
What is a robot? This is Future Lab, the online radio series from Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. Will pool cleaners take over the world? Would it be below R2-D2 to wash the dishes and make the bed? None of those questions answered in the next 10 minutes, but you will meet robotics researchers. Okay, so what is a robot?
What's a robot is a very difficult question.
Steve Cousins is the CEO of Willow Garage, a company that researches and builds robots in Menlo Park, California. Today, he is showing off a couple of the company's machines. This one is a remote presence robot called Texas, which has a screen that displays the face of the person who is piloting it from somewhere else.
This device has a camera at the top, has wheels that can be remotely controlled. So you think of it as basically a remote control car that's tall, that has a full-size screen and a camera. And the operator of this vehicle can drive it around the building with his face on the screen, and he's able to look around, be in this environment in a way that's just fundamentally different from video conferencing.
The idea of robots, especially the kinds that resemble humans, is deeply ingrained in our consciousness, even though we rarely come face to face with them in our daily lives. But we see them all the time in movies, and so we have little trouble classifying a remote presence device as a probe or surrogate, but not a real robot. Steve Cousins would agree, and is quick to point out that a robot has autonomy. And while robots may seem very familiar, few of us have much understanding of robotics engineering and computer science. A little knowledge can contribute to misconceptions.
I would say the biggest misconception is that it's going to take over the world.
Being so close to robot development, Steve Cousins isn't worried about Skynet and Terminators. What he sees is a world where robots free up our time.
There's a bunch of, in Hollywood, a bunch of dystopias about robots. You know, think of WALL-E, right, where all the people become fat blobs in wheelchairs because there's nothing for them to do.
By and large, everything you need to be happy. Your day is very important to us.
Hey, drink the bus. Here, take the cup. Hey, take the cup.
Please remain stationary. A service bot will be here to assist you momentarily.
Stuart! Hello?
That's not the vision of the world that we have. The vision of the world we have is that robots let you be somewhere that you're not. Right? If I have to be in a meeting in New York City, well, I could spend from now until the time the meeting starts getting there, and then spend the rest of the time getting back, and then another day getting over the jet lag from all that travel. Or I can embody one of these robots that's already there and just be there for the 3 hours I need to be there and then be back here. I don't see myself, you know, lying in bed just operating outside, which is kind of the surrogate's vision, right? I see myself going out for a run, playing tennis, and using all that time I would have spent traveling, enjoying life.
The remote presence robot, the Texas, is one productivity machine here at Willow Garage. The other is the PR2, which began development at Stanford University. The PR2 is autonomous and capable of human-like motions, and it's designed to be around people, which is an important distinction. The last thing you want is a robot that accidentally rips off your arm while it's on a mission to complete house chores.
This robot, your listeners can hear the noise. It doesn't make a whole lot of noise, but I'm basically moving the arm around, and it's almost silent. And you can push it as well. What you see is the arm's floating here.
There is a gentleness to the PR2, which you immediately sense when you hold its arms. The arms are balanced by internal springs. That means the motors inside the robot's joints can be small and light.
It generates much less inertia than if it was a big motor that was strong enough to hold up the arm. And that means that even though, you know, we walked right next to that robot, which is turned on, there's no red line around it saying, you know, stay outside of this zone. If it pokes you in the eye, it's still going to hurt. But it's not going to generate enough inertia to knock your head clean off your body, which an industrial robot arm could.
The engineering of the PR2's mechanical structure is a marvel. But the hardware is a foundation for open source software development. Willow Garage has given away 11 PR2 robots to other robotics labs for this very purpose.
The robot operating system is a platform that takes all these problems like manipulation, which is starting to be solved. How do you properly grasp an object? It seems like a really simple thing to us people, but when you want to reach out and grab an object, you know, I have this board in the way here, and when I go to reach the object, I reach over the board naturally, and I don't accidentally bump my elbow. But the robot, some part of the software has to actually think about what's every motor in the robot got to do in order to get my arm over and through that position. That kind of software is intrinsically hard.
If that sounds like a hint at robot intelligence or singularity, it isn't. In demos, these robots can pick up a can of beer or play pool, and one of their purposes will be as a tool in assisted living. But none of that involves true intelligence. Cousins likes to think of the development roadmap of robots along the same lines as the early days of the personal computer.
We call this a personal robot for a very specific reason. And if you look at the personal computer history, in 1973, Xerox PARC built the Alto. The Alto was this essentially $200,000 personal computer. Now, nobody would pay $200,000 for a PC today, but they built them in order to develop software. And they developed some really important concepts: windowing, mice, icons, pointing devices, all those things integrated together, menus. Those fundamental concepts are still in the computers we use today, but nobody uses an Alto. And personal computers came along and took off. We think of this kind of like that. What's interesting is Xerox PARC had a lot of smart people, and they did a lot of core software things. What they didn't do was a spreadsheet. And arguably, the spreadsheet's something that drove the PC revolution. So, unfortunately for us, we don't know what the equivalent of the spreadsheet for a robot is yet, but we're looking hard.
The computer science challenge, even if it doesn't involve artificial intelligence, is fundamental to robotics research. Working with scientists at Carnegie Mellon University, Intel researchers are developing a robot named Herb, home exploring robot butler. Future Lab reporter Michael Johnson visited Herb's programmer, senior research scientist Sid Srinivasa.
Robots are really good at doing incredible things in factory floors. You know, they build our cars. But if you look at a home, things are all over the place, and there's a lot of uncertainty in a human environment. So if we want robots to function in such a setting, there's really two things we can do. One is we can try to make our homes look more like factory floors, or you can try to enable robots to really understand the structure and understand the uncertainty in a human environment and function efficiently in it.
Tell me a little bit about Herb, and then we can walk down there and interact with him, her, a little bit.
So Herb is my baby. Herb stands for Home Exploring Robot Butler. And it's also in honor of Herb Simon, who's one of the key figures in computer science and at Carnegie Mellon. Herb is our platform. We don't claim that the robot of the future will look like Herb. And you have this abstract idea of how a robot should work, and then you write the algorithms and the theorems, and then you run it on the robot, and then you see it doing these very interesting, very intuitive things, like the way it picks up the coffee mug. You know, we tell Herb, go pick up coffee mugs. That's it. We don't tell it which coffee mugs. We don't tell it where they are. We don't tell it how to pick it up. Herb does all of this by itself. Looks almost like the way you pick it up, even though you never encoded that. You know, you just wrote the abstract idea in there, and sort of the behavior of the robot that's so human-like just emerges out of the algorithm.
So can we go down and look at Herb for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So this is our lab, and this is Herb right here.
Does Herb make any sounds as he moves, or is he pretty quiet?
We do have a little microphone there, and Herb occasionally makes sounds.
Hi, I am Herb. Let me get you a drink.
So in working with Herb, and you say he's constantly learning about things, does he have a personality?
That's a good question. I think we think so. Currently, when people see Herb, they see a device that is incredibly efficient, but perhaps a little boring. I think it's because he does his job well, and when he fails, he keeps going. We're working with some researchers at the Human Computer Interaction Institute at CMU to try and think about, you know, adding more interesting behavior to Herb. you know, you could call it personality, but I think it's more, for me, the ability for Herb to understand what humans are doing, what they're saying, what they want, and also to be able to convey to people what it is doing.
Sid Srinivasa is a senior research scientist at Intel Labs at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He spoke with Future Labs' Michael Johnson.
Hi, I am Herb. Let me get you a drink.
That's our show for today. Future Lab is the online radio series from Intel Labs. We only investigated a sliver of the world of robotics, which means the field is wide open for more robot stories in the future. Willow Garage has a great website at which to explore robotics. It's at willowgarage.com. And you can see pictures regarding today's show at Flickr. Just use the search terms Future Lab and Intel. Intel Labs is at intel.com/research.